Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey guys,
welcome back to
the W Hotel in Dallas, Texas.
We are currently traveling, so we can't be in the studio today. It looks like we're in like a wedding venue or like an AA meeting space.
So it is the black tablecloths really lend itself to something terrible.
Yeah, they told us after this we have to pack up our chairs.
We have to carry the chairs like church boys in youth group. I need three strong boys.
They look at us. You'll do.
You're built like a man. Get over here. All right. So what are we talking about today, Cuzzo?
Today we're going to be talking about meme history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a long-awaited one, which honestly should have been one of the first ones, like if we're really being honest. Memes are such an integral part of the internet experience. So we're sorry for making you guys wait this long.
Yeah.
Oh,
people are waiting on pins and needles for the meme episode.
God. So we have Stanley compiled us a not so extensive list, but it'll do. I feel like it covers pretty much basically an overview of just meme history on the internet. So with that being said, internet time is different. Okay. A meme funny today may be totally forgotten about a week later. Currently, we are at a stage of meme culture where everything is every era all the time. Mm-hmm. It is difficult to understand or have context of what the current meme landscape is as it's all blended together, which I would agree. Mm-hmm. Reaction memes and internet memes are difficult to differentiate because memes existed apparently before the internet. I don't subscribe to that ideology. Okay. I think memes are of the internet and for the internet.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. Just like, don't be mad at us if we left out your favorite meme or your favorite era, because like we could talk about this for literally 7 hours and still not be done. So this is a very generic overview. So shut up.
Please. Right. I also like the disclaimer that says, I fucking love this shit.
Yeah, Stanley included a little blurb.
Yeah.
He loves this. That's why we have him shackled to the desk. Yes. You say you love this shit? We'll do it for free.
So we're going to be talking like just the general about memes. Memes are broadly defined as culturally transmitted information or ideas and beliefs that can spread from one organism or group of organisms to another. Much like COVID or... Well, I mean, honestly, like a virus, like that's what I feel like how the pickup is like, you know, there's a couple people that have it. And then when it reaches the public, it's like you're screwed.
Memes are the herpes of the internet.
Exactly. So a key component to the meme concept is that the information is able to self-replicate and in turn undergoes a type of natural selection, much like biological genes and viruses. Now, what I don't know is why my family line hasn't died out by now.
Statistically and scientifically speaking,
I know
you're an anomaly,
dude. When I think about what's happened to me and my family, I'm like, we should have been gone. We should have wrapped this shit up 300 years ago. But someone in my family line just had to survive.
Yeah. No, they were horny.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so fucked up.
Isn't that crazy to think that what has propelled humanity forward thus far is just people fucking like rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
Just being horny.
Yes. The only reason why I'm here today is because my great-grandmother's unwavering sex drive.
Yep. Libido unlike anything you've ever seen.
Yes. But so the origin of memes, the word was coined by evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins, Dick Dawkins.
Nice. I know. Dick Dickens.
Yes. In his 1970, in his 1976 book, The Selfish Gene, he postulated that perhaps not only biological information undergoes natural selection, but anything that is capable of replicating itself would also be susceptible to selection pressures like ideas and beliefs.
Who up postulating?
Me when I postulate.
Me when I postulate memes.
Yes. The word meme was used to label this type of self-replicating cultural information, and it was derived from the Greek word mimeia, which translates to something imitated. Like mimic.
Yeah.
So like meme and mimic are of the same.
And mimes.
Yes.
That's a crazy concept too. People would just like paint their face white and just mock people in the street. Yes. For money.
Quietly, though.
So basically what this premise is people making their own memes or creating a meme from another meme. Mm-hmm. So that's the self-replicating nature of it. If you want to talk about it in a scientific lens. So internet memes. I'm sorry, y'all. I had oat milk and it makes me kind of gassy. Traditionally, the term mostly applied to images, concepts, or catchphrases, but it has since become broader and more multifaceted, evolving to include more elaborate structures such as challenges, GIFs, videos, and viral sensations. They can spread from person to person via social networks, like we mentioned earlier, like a venereal disease,
mm-hmm.
blogs, emails, or news sources. Instant communication on the internet facilitates word-of-mouth transition, resulting in fads and sensations that tend to grow extremely rapidly.
So I have a question.
I have an answer, maybe.
Okay, so like STI and STD.
Mm.
Is venereal disease an STI or an STD?
I would have to go back to the foundation that I don't know what venereal means.
I was thinking like vinyl or something, but I don't know. Because I know
vinyl disease, you just like love records. You love your record player.
I mean, I know that it changed from STD to STI, and I probably should know this. I
feel like a disease is something you live with, an infection is something that can be cured.
Oh, okay.
That is immediately my differentiation.
Okay, yeah. So colloquially, the terms meme and internet
No. Let's talk about dank memes.
Oh, dank memes, or high-quality edgy memes, had their heyday back in the late 2000s. They were the precursor for many modern memes' take on the inclusion of surreal, nonsensical, and non-sequitur themes.
And now this is tea, because if any of you guys are Broski Nation YouTube channel watchers, I have a series called Fart History, where I talk about art history, and I've talked about this before, like surrealism.
Mm-hmm.
People think surrealism started with like Salvador Dali in like the 20s, and that was kind of the beginning, and we're seeing this neo-surrealist movement on TikTok where it's just like Dada, it's Gen Z like just making abstract nonsensical humor funny, mm-hmm. and it is funny, but it's cool to see that like that has been a part of meme culture ever since its beginning, you know, and it's, I would argue, been a part of human culture, like art history, since the dawn of time. I mean, even back to like the 1400s, Heronius Bosch was making really surrealist works. So that's really all I wanted to say, is that meme history is art history.
Yeah.
And I think that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Life imitates fart.
It does.
Yes.
And I fart.
Yes.
Hot. Hot and up the front.
It's something so smart. And I fart hot. Up the front.
And I fart up, hot up the front, and it bubbles.
Yes.
Okay?
Imagine you're going through like a museum and you're like, this is a surrealist painting. Sorry, guys.
Hey, don't walk over here. Yeah.
But colloquially, the term meme and internet meme are used more loosely, having become umbrella terms for any piece of quickly consumed comedic content that may not necessarily be intended to spread or evolve.
Just like you.
Yes. I was meant to spread, but not evolve.
Okay. An internet meme is slowly becoming a part of how the time periods we live through are being defined. How crazy is that?
I know.
History books are going to be like, this is when Doge.
Yeah.
Doge was happening.
This is the damn Daniel era. Like, fucking. Oh my God, dude, but I mean, a lot of people like define like 2016 or 2017 by like the music that came out.
Definitely.
And then categorizing the memes in like a similar way.
I mean, it's all part of pop culture.
Yeah.
So for example, what we're just talking about, Lamour Schiffman, who is a researcher at the University of Oxford, provides this observation. The Gangnam-style music video by South Korean pop star Psy that went viral in 2012, Schiffman cites examples of how the meme mutated itself into the cultural sphere, mixing with other things going on at the time, such as the 2012 U.S. presidential election, which led to the creation of course, Mitt Romney style.
Oh my God, I had forgotten about him.
Right?
That is so crazy.
Which was a parody of the original Gangnam style, intended to be a jab at the 2012 Republican presidential candidate, Mitt Romney. That is like, that was a moment in time too.
Yeah.
Is that still to this day the most viewed YouTube video ever?
I think it's either that or Justin Bieber's "Is It Too Late Now to Say Sorry?"
That?
Yeah, dude, look up the most watched. I can't put this down. Most? Typing with one hand. It's number one, Baby Shark Dance.
Oh.
And then two is Despacito.
Oh, let's go.
And then this third one is Johnny Yes Papa.
What is that?
Is that the Yes Papa? Oh, fuck. I
remember that, yeah.
But that's, how is that number three?
That must be some weird, like, maybe it was a mission to get those views up as a meme.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just playing in loop at my house.
Yeah, just doing everything for the bit.
And then there's Shape of You, but I think Gangnam Style is...
Shape of You being number four?
I know. I think Gangnam Style is number 10.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, yeah. And what are the view counts
for
Gangnam Style?
4.57 billion.
Fuck me, dude.
I know, but Baby Shark Dance is 11.5 billion, and then Despacito is 7.9.
All right, guys, if Baby Shark can get that, let's see how many likes we can get on this video. Smash that fucking like button, Baby Shark connoisseurs.
We passed Despacito. But, yeah, so the Gangnam Style, yeah.
That's wild. For the longest time, it was the number one, and then I think Baby by Justin Bieber was number one, and then it's cool to see what overtakes what and how fast it grows and how it plateaus. It's so, I love internet stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the life cycle of memes.
Stanley included a image that I really, really enjoy. All right. So we're tempted to get something on the screen. But once again, oh wait, we got it. Oh my God. How are you? You're so smart.
Doink.
Your bloodline should continue.
Thank you so much for saying that. No one else agrees.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
So this is the rise, decline, and fall of an internet meme. We're in a hotel, like, convention center room, and I feel like we're literally giving a presentation.
Yeah. There's no one here.
And there never will be.
So if someone walks in and decides to sit in on this. All right. Well, anyone have any questions?
All right. Do you want to walk us through this?
Yes. So we have the phases. The rise is like the first section of the meme, where it's the original joke, often satirical or ironic and very clever. It's about as funny as stand-up comedy. And then after that, the meme expands, like new jokes on the same subject matter, and that's about as funny as a good sitcom episode. And then after that, it's clever rehashes, a smart spin on things, and then that's about as funny as a witty movie.
But, Deadpool, if you will.
Yeah, Deadpool. So once it gets out of the rise phase, it enters the decline, if you'd like to touch on that.
So we enter mass internet influx. Everyone wants to make a joke, regardless if they actually have one.
Oh my God, it's like when someone like quote tweets someone with something with like, why is this so funny?
Yeah.
It's like you just wanted to get in on it.
Oh my God, I'm dead.
Yeah.
Yes. Delete your account. This was insane. I can talk about this from the perspective of being a meme.
Oh yeah.
This was wild to watch happen.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's always the alt communities that find the meme or create the meme first. It's the funniest at that point when it's like, oh my God, what is this? Or, you know, whatever. And then when the masses take it, when brands grab onto it, which comes later, that is like, you literally, the fun is immediately over. When I started seeing like, what was it? Marijuana? I was like,
who was that for? Like David's bridal?
Yeah, I don't fucking know. Like,
marriage.
So what are you saying?
Yeah.
But it literally is that. It's like when it becomes unfunny because everyone wants to be in on it. Like that was weird to watch it from the perspective of I was the meme. And I'm like, damn, y'all are really not funny. Mm-hmm. Repeated jokes. Haven't we seen this one already?
I think that's my least favorite thing about like TikTok. I understand using a popular audio, but when it's the exact same joke.
Yeah, and it's just someone else making it.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, you can use the audio, but like, dude, you didn't change it at all.
Yeah, you know what was really bad about that? The first time I saw a TikTok that was like, peasants in the 1400s when I go back and give them a sour candy
hand job
or whatever. A hand job, yeah. A hand job and a warhead.
Yes.
I'm giving you the full spectrum of the human life here in 30 seconds. Yes. Joy and pain. What was I saying?
When you go back to the 1400s.
Oh, that meme, the first time I saw it on TikTok, I was like, I'm dead. But that was a tweet.
Yeah.
Way back when.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing it on Twitter and being like, damn, that's funny. Well, they took it on TikTok and they green screened in a background and added medieval music. And so I was like, I'll laugh at that again.
Yeah.
And then it was the same video 100 times.
Yeah.
Like everyone just put on a robe and would dance around. And it was the same joke.
Yeah.
And it was weird to see like, okay, this is a white girl doing it, you know, 50,000 likes. Oh, it's a white man doing it, 100,000 likes. You know, it's just like how it changes. It's all the same fucking joke. You're not telling it any different.
Yeah.
But it sucks. Self-referential jokes. Maybe if there's enough irony, people will laugh. As funny as quoting Monty Python.
So not funny.
I like Monty Python.
I do too. Then there's also the fall of the meme. So it starts with the original joke becomes lost. The latecomers join in without a map. Your parents. There's actually something like crazy about whenever I see like old people on TikTok, I know that they're not with it. Like mm-hmm. they don't understand memes, but they are so fucking funny because they are so out of the loop.
Right.
You know what
I mean? We're making fun of you. Yeah. You're not being funny.
Yes. And then there's also meme rehash. We can still pull a few more jokes out of this.
Sequel cash in.
Yeah. Which
is Deadpool 2, if yes. you will.
Mixed with other memes. It's like the greatest hits CD of jokes. And then it's all as funny as a reunion special for a crappy sitcom. Mm. I can has cake. Okay, there's also...
Hey, no, that's good.
Yeah, I love that. There's a gun in my mouth right now. I don't fucking get started to talk. The bullet's going to enter my skull. Okay. Okay. There's also... used in the real world. If the joke hits TV, it's pretty much over.
Hits TV or brand accounts.
Mm-hmm.
It's over. And it's also... We'll talk about this later, but you have an interesting perspective being a copywriter. So we'll get to that in a sec. But that's about as funny as your grandmother on Facebook.
Yeah.
So, and that is true.
Yeah. And I also like, I mean, we've talked about this before, but I feel like when you watch like fucking TV shows on Netflix and they're like giving Gen Z like a line and it's like, we're going viral.
Yeah.
They've got like 20,000 views.
Yeah. Or that's lit as fuck.
Yeah.
I saw my Nana yesterday and she was like, my cousin lives with them right now. And she was like, he's introducing some new language. He came in talking about that's fly. And I said, Nana,
it's been around for a while.
Yeah, that's not a... All right. She said that and I said, I physically recoiled.
Nana, be gone.
Nana, stop it.
There's also, I did write a long fucking rant, but we're going to talk about like reaction memes, which are different from like memes in general. So reaction images are images or animated GIFs that are meant to portray a specific emotion in response to something that has been said. Yes. They are commonly used in discussion threads in a similar fashion to emoticons. I feel like, so there are different types of memes, but I feel like reaction memes, specifically on Twitter, like using a GIF, is very much like a millennial thing.
It is a language.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. I don't think it's just millennial because Gen Z definitely does it.
Yeah.
I mean, like Gen Z K-pop stans are like kind of the
masters. Those are like fan cams.
It's fan cams, but it's also like edits of their favorite, mm-hmm. you know, with the appropriate face,
yeah.
like reacting to certain things. So I think that, like, to master the art of reaction memes, you have to be so well versed in internet history.
To master the art of reacting,
you do.
Yes.
To react to the picture of Kermit the Frog with, you know, a pill bottle in his yes. hand. I have been working on my reaction meme folder since I was a sophomore in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, that was what, 2012?
Yeah.
This is going on 10 years that it has come with me from, I used to have an Android mm-hmm. and I would upload all my photos to Google Photos to save them. And then when I got my iPhone, I downloaded all those photos. And so I still have reaction memes from high school in my same folder. And it's weird to see, like, some of them are so not funny anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I would never use them anymore. They're just outdated. But like, to see how we have all changed with the history of like how I've, you know, like reacted to things, how yeah. I've processed the world through reaction memes. I could write a fucking thesis on this, dude.
Okay.
All right.
No, do it. Do it. That's why we're here.
That's true.
I'm trying to think. I do have like a folder. This is not something I actively created, but I realized that iPhone saves like images or like things from like different platforms. So yeah. I do have a Twitter folder, which is yep. like the most deranged shit.
Oh, yeah. So mine's like, pretty bad, too.
Yes.
The first one I ever saved from Twitter was Elmo nailed to that cross yes. in the Goodwill.
Yes. Wait, one of my first ones was Elmo at the strip club and he's dancing on
yes!
stage.
Yes. Look at us.
The origin of reaction images have their roots in the pictorial representation of facial expressions known as emoticons, with the first recorded instance produced by Scott Fallman on September 19th, 1982. Can you imagine him just like writing out, like, well, I guess you writing a smiley face is pretty normal.
Yeah.
Never mind.
He was the first one to ever draw a smiley face.
Yes.
1982.
The exact origin of reaction images is difficult to trace, but its early examples appeared on Fatuba Channel, 2chan, and 4chan.
Oh, always yeah. goes back to fucking 4chan.
Mm-hmm. One of the earliest known reaction faces is the facepalm, which was recorded on Urban Dictionary on February 10th, 2004. But that's like the guy hitting his face. Like, mm-hmm. you know what a facepalm is?
Duh.
Yeah. Duh, dummy. Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
So there's also the spread. Reaction images became a part of several forum games on 4chan, like My Face When.
Now that's good.
Mm-hmm. Game that involves... Okay, here's the thing. That is good at the time. It's like how, you know, people...
It's good now.
I know. Well, like, you know, like when people... not 7-Eleven. SNL. I was going to say, no, like, SNL, if you think it's funny or not, like, everyone was like, in the 70s, it was like, it's peak or whatever. And you go back and you watch those fucking... You're like, this is so fucking lame.
Yeah.
But then you realize this is the first time anyone's ever said
exactly,
this.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, like, and I feel like with a lot of Vines, it's like, it's not funny anymore, but a lot of the time, it was like, this is the first time someone ever said it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not to bring it back to art history, but this is art history. Have you ever seen a Rothko painting?
You know I haven't.
I'll show you. It's literally the most boring paintings you've ever seen.
Uh-huh.
These. It's literally just like a painted canvas.
Yeah.
Right? Just like boring. He painted orange and yellow. This is that same concept. It's like in the 50s, in the 60s, this was like life-changing. It was yeah. monumental. It was like all the same thing on this composition, and it was just kind of like, why would you do that? He was the first one to do it. So we look at that now and we're like, bitch, I could do that.
Yeah.
But in the 50s and 60s, when art wasn't mass produced like we see it now. Mm. You know, art was something to behold. It wasn't like a commodity to buy. You know, it was like, it was just a different world. And I think SNL is a great example of that too, where it's like, at that time, live sketch comedy, dude, that you could watch from your living room. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah.
So I think that context means everything. And so the flip side of that too is like the context of my face when, you know, that was probably fucking, oh my God, probably pissed yourself laughing in 2004.
Yes.
And now it's like, oh,
yeah,
that's a reference to the, and when it was, and then also the millennials did the thing, and then I am ironic. And then I, you know, it's like, there's so many layers to it now that make it funny now. Anyway, more art history for you guys.
But the, so the reaction images, a game that involves posting an appropriate reaction face in response to a prompted event or situation. There's like this, also this chart, this flow chart. This is not a flow chart. So like,
this is actually the, they, what's the word? Co-opted. This is the, little not infographic. What's the word? Just a graph, flow chart for genes.
Oh,
how they mutate.
Okay. Yeah.
And don't fucking check me on that.
So as all of us know, the mutation life cycle of genes.
And to your point.
Yeah. So we're going to try to explain this as best as we can. So like, there's a phase in meme culture called proto-ironic. It's 2010 to 2012. And it's where like the memes are simple. My face when I order pizza. And then from 2013 to 2015, there's early ironic with traditionalist memes as genes. You know, they proto-ironic memes as tropes. So then it starts to mutate. This is, you know, the life cycle speeding up. We're starting to stack memes on top of each other now. And so 2015 to 2016 is middle ironic. And then it starts to shoot off into neo-traditionalist memes as vessels.
Like, look at all this happening at the same time. Like, this is 2016. Again, greatest year ever for music.
Yeah.
L presidential election. But
yeah,
this is, I feel like that also is coupled with it though, is when pop culture and historical world events are so like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
People turn to the internet to like make sense of it or make fun of it or just escape, I guess.
Yeah.
And so people are creative. Mm-hmm. I feel like that kind of explains that little tick.
I know. I feel like, 2015, 2016, something was definitely happening. This chart does not include 2020.
No.
And I would absolutely love to see what 2 years inside did to just meme culture.
Yeah.
Because everything is so heavily like stacked on top of each other.
Yeah.
But so 2016 to 2017 was late ironic, you know, ironic memes as concept, and then like meta ironic memes as events, and then pre-ironic memes as objects, and then we moved to meta-ironic in 2017 to 2019. And if you guys are like, this is so many words.
Yeah, and it is.
Yeah. These are post-ironic memes as functions. And then from 2019 on, we are in a stage of post-irony where the gene mutation is extremely complex.
It is unrecognizable and ugly.
Yes, it's hideous, deformed.
Hard to look at, hard to be around.
This is something that I like explain to... you know that meme that you just said, like, if you go back in time and show this to a pilgrim, they wouldn't get it?
Mm-hmm.
It was starting to really, you know, make my crotch itch when everyone was like, if you went in the future and you showed this to people, I was like, what we are producing right now, we think it's, like, totally stacked.
It's bad.
People in the future are going to have, like, literally 70 layers of irony where, like, it's not even irony anymore. It's, like, its own substance.
Yes.
You know? Like, if we go back to the 1400s, they're, like, screaming because we have a phone.
Right.
You know? We had to get them to stop screaming first.
Look. It's a dancing monkey.
This completely changes their world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the radioactive rays from my iPhone would kill them on impact.
Yes.
They haven't built up the tolerance we have. Live through Chernobyl and then tell me about it. You know what I mean? Also, we've been talking about doing an episode on irony poisoning, but that is very much tied to this concept of when you've been online for so long. Or even, you didn't have to grow up online. If you were online in the last 2 or 3 years, I feel like you would understand kind of just how people on Twitter or TikTok are being ironic. And that's kind of the sense of humor of that has defined a generation and the following generation. And now Gen Alpha is just this, like, everything is surrealist. Everything is da-da. Nothing makes sense. And that's why it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it is weird to have that much going on. And I think the other side of the pendulum is the next generation is going to be incredibly earnest.
Yeah.
And I hope that's the case.
Yeah.
And people like me and maybe you are, it's so hard to take those people seriously.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we're ironic to ward off any critique.
Yeah.
If I am self-aware to a point of, like, I make myself nauseous by how self-aware I am.
Yeah.
And the self-hatred is all tied up into that, then anything you say does not affect me because I am so hyper self-aware. The opposite, like, swing of the pendulum is being earnest and being, you know, sincere in your approach to life and relationships and friendships and humor. And I think that that's incredibly brave. Mm-hmm. And it's not something I'll accomplish in my lifetime.
Yeah. I think it's like, it's going to happen like a lot sooner than we think with like gentle parenting.
Right.
I mean, we are going to do an episode on Tumblr and a large part of what Brittany wrote and Stanley wrote is the fact that, you know, you want to escape into a world where it's okay to be you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like a lot of people on the internet flock to the internet because their home life or, you know, their Gen X parents who are like,
Gen X.
Boomer and Gen X parents are like, well, if you don't like it, like, fuck you, or like making fun of their kids. Well, with the rise of like gentle parenting, I feel like it's going to create a more earnest clump
Absolutely.
Of people. And now we're trying to, like, there's so much like mental health information, but like it makes sense why we want to be ironic because
mm-hmm.
we have a hard time being vulnerable because we were punished for it growing up.
Right.
That's why we escaped to the internet.
Right.
So now with like the rise of gentle parenting, we're going to see it probably not next generation, but the generation after that is where earnesty really comes back. Like
yeah.
in full swing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see it happen. And mm-hmm. I hope I'm not jaded by
yeah.
that point because I've watched, you know, at that point when our parents raised us, it's like you're so jaded by life
yeah.
because life was harsh or mean
yeah.
to you, you know? And it's like, I don't know. I'm proud of this generation that seemingly grew up online. You know, like millennials were the first people to grow up online and Gen Z was next and then so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
As damaging as that was, I think there have been some really cool things to come out of it, which one of them being that self-awareness, you know,
yeah.
of like, I recognize that this was done to me and I will not continue that
yeah.
process or, you
cycle.
Know, what I'm
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. I think that's like, shit. Like, that's like you said, like, I mean, I don't know if I'll be on the internet, like how I am now, like in
right.
the future, but I am so aware of like how boomers speak. They're like, you know, you kids don't. So if I ever feel that any sort of like tingle towards Gen Z or Gen Alpha,
right.
like I work on that with myself because I don't want to be that crotchety person
right.
who's fucking jaded. Cause this is also my career and I'm not gonna be like, you guys, like when I see, I don't know why this annoys me so much. Okay, so like Gen Z and like Gen Alpha are rediscovering like 2000s fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, they're like, I just discovered like low rise bell bottoms and it'll get stitched to hell by like millennials who are
right.
like, I remember when we were, you guys are just now discovering.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, okay, so we need to talk about this.
Yeah, like it's like, shut up. They literally weren't alive. Like
right.
you don't have to be such a dick about it.
Right.
And so it's just, I'm so aware of like not in like, talking to like younger generations like that because I also
Good.
Feel like that ages you out of the internet.
Yeah.
When you start to get crotchety and you start to get irritated with everything, of course you're gonna fucking want to leave soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just that individualism though, I feel like, is like you want to be different so bad. Oh, well, you like that? Well, guess what? I lived through it.
Yeah.
I'm better than you.
Yeah. And
it's
that's,
like, let people enjoy things.
Such a boomer mentality.
It really is. And
yeah.
It's that I think like when I hear my parents or my grandparents speak, it's like, that fear of being left out.
Yeah.
They feel so left behind by
yeah.
the internet. And like, okay, you know, either adapt and keep up with us or you don't be mad that you chose not to.
Yeah.
You know, like, and don't expect us to coddle that sort of out of touchness.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is infuriating.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why?
Yeah.
Was this video absolutely necessary to post? No, mm-hmm. it wasn't.
There's also, with the 4chan archives, you know, there's a whole thread, but there's like myfacewhen.com reaction face database was created on March 10th, 2010. There's also the Tumblr page, fuck yeah, reaction face was created on October 10th, 2010.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then myfacewhen.net reaction face database was registered 1 year later on March 14th, 2011. So it's just like literally like, as Brittany has her own database of reaction faces in her phone, these people also are creating it like for the public.
I recently saw this crazy image on Twitter of people loading a 5 megabyte storage unit onto a plane in like the 50s or 60s. And it was the size of like a small car,
yeah.
or like a normal car. And I was like, I have, just think of how far we've come. 5 megabytes. That's like so many pictures of like holes.
Yeah.
Just like animated character holes on my phone.
It's like 400 like Donald Duck buttholes.
Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's locked in a folder on my iPhone. It's like that is at that time was such a precious and new commodity.
Yeah.
And to see how we just like take it for granted today. 5 megabytes, dude.
Yeah.
But we went to the moon for less.
Yeah. With like a calculator.
Yeah.
I feel like.
And on my iPhone, I'm just like, yeah, I would raw dog Balto. Okay. Yes. Stop asking me.
And that tweet is more powerful than the computer that sent us to the moon.
Got more likes than NASA yes. does. So
there's also a brief history of internet memes. And when we say brief, we mean brief.
Brief. Yeah. Okay. So I'll take this one.
Yeah.
This goes all the way back to 1921. So this comic was found in a 1921 edition of a satirical magazine, The Judge, published by the University of Iowa. Within The Judge, the comic is then credited to a different magazine, The Wisconsin Octopus. How silly. Published at the University of Wisconsin between 1919 and 1959. Now this says, how you think you look when a flashlight is taken, how you really look.
And so, like, in the first picture, it's, like, a really handsome, like, gorgeous man. And then in the second picture, it's just a doofy-looking kid.
Yeah.
With washed-out features.
Yeah.
But that is true. This is the first poot.
It is.
Yeah.
It's the first when you order it online versus when it arrives.
Yeah.
Why did they give him eyelashes and, like, gloss?
I don't know, but he's got a really nice, like, lip on as well.
Yeah, he looks great.
Oh, interesting.
Wow. All right, anyway, so this goes all the way back to the 20s. Next, 1940s. Who here knows about Kilroy? This is for all of you patriots. Kilroy was here is a meme that became popular during World War II, typically seen in graffiti. And this is a wartime meme, if you will. And funny enough, I have a Kilroy, well, not anymore, on my last car, which was riddled with bumper stickers. Anyway, I had a Kilroy sticker that was, you guessed it, Mickey Mouse.
I literally love those fucking cars where it's like they glued Barbie dolls to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was this short from yes. gluing like some Star Wars action figures to the top of my car. Yes. Or the ones where it looks like Woody and Buzz are on the trunk. Yeah. I'm crying laughing every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had a Mickey Mouse that looked like he was looking over the wall. Mm-hmm. So there's a great article called From Kilroy to Pepe that talks about the history of memes. It's a super interesting read if you are interested in this after the fact and you want to go read it. While there are myths and legends about Kilroy's origins, the truth is that no one knows where it started. Some people think it was a caricature of a serviceman named Francis Kilroy in the 40s, but his origin isn't as important as what Kilroy symbolized. Kilroy was the fighting spirit of American soldiers during World War II. And so prolific was the Kilroy mark, it's rumored that Germans thought Kilroy might be a real spy. It's a drawing, guys.
Yeah.
He traveled overseas and back again, and like a good meme, hung around for a while. He crossed over from mere graffiti to film and television, appearing in the 1970 war movie Kelly's Heroes, and was referenced in a 1975 episode of MASH. Kilroy was the meme heard round the world. Mm-hmm. The doodle became associated with the GIs in the 1940s.
So this is the original Dick Doodle.
It is. It's the first Superman
yeah.
logo and a penis.
So it just looks like a little guy peeking over a hill with a big, long dick nose.
Yep.
This is like a Squidward nose, honestly, truly.
Yeah. It's cool. This is the next one. We're moving on to 1996. This is the dancing baby screensaver. Or 1998, sorry. God, that's scary. Anyway, it's just a computer-generated dancing baby.
It's really creepy looking.
Yeah. The dancing baby, also called Baby Cha-Cha or the Uka Chaka Baby, is a 3D rendered animation of a baby performing a cha-cha type of dance. It quickly became a media phenomenon and one of the first viral videos in the mid to late 90s. And that is the true meaning of viral.
Yeah.
Because viral, we've talked about this before. Today, if you have a TikTok go viral and it gets 100,000 views, that's not viral, dude. Viral means every single person online has probably seen this video. Mm-hmm. That concept doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like, and I don't mean this in an egocentric way, but the kombucha meme, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, was kind of the last one to reach that global
yeah.
thing of, like, everyone was using it. other than like SpongeBob reaction memes, you know, where people will add their own flair or me win, whatever. It really doesn't happen that often anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that it's because shit like this, you don't need to speak English for it.
Yeah.
Charli D'Amelio was the most followed person for the longest time because dance doesn't have a language. Yeah. You know? And who's the guy who's the most followed one now? That's like, it's because he doesn't say anything in his videos. He just points out how fucking stupid people are.
Yeah.
I think that that's the key, and we will never see that again. Mm-hmm. We won't see Uka Chaka Baby. And that's really sad, guys.
Mm-hmm. Or it would be something so monumental, like it would be absolutely insane.
Yeah. Like a picture of my butthole.
Yes. It's going straight to the top.
Yep. All right. So next we have 1998. We have these motivational posters, if y'all remember these.
Oh, yeah.
In every single office. Be the bridge. Problems become opportunities when the right people join together.
Oh, yeah. Or like the that cat one where it's like, hang in there.
Yeah.
I feel like every single office had that.
Yeah. That's so iconic, actually.
I know.
I want that like as a statement piece.
I want that tattooed on my lower back.
We should get that in the living room.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Or tramp stamp. Yes. Hang in there.
Oh, my God. You're doing it with someone. You're like, hang in there, buddy.
Hey, hang in there. We're almost done.
But yeah, so you guys know exactly what posters we're talking about. But then parody posters came soon after that. Do we have an example of one?
We do. This one is a set of forks, and then there's one fucked up looking one that says, unique. Just because you are unique does not mean you are useful. I saw another one that said, it was a picture of a guy like this against a wall, and it said, kill yourself. Just do it. Give up.
Or what it's like, what's that one where it's like that awkwardly like painted sign where it's like, you don't matter. Give up.
You, yes. You matter. Don't give up.
Yeah.
You don't matter.
There's also the experimental period from 2000 to 2004. At this point, memes as a concept have materialized enough that they began to be a part of culture, but the exact definition of what a meme was still vague. Meme culture began finding its way with the rise of still images, videos, and GIFs. During this period, the internet started realizing how wide-ranging memes could be. So in 2002, we got Peanut Butter Jelly Time.
Now this was a moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to play it just for a second. And it is kind of loud.
Oh, wait.
And that's it.
Yeah.
It goes on for 2 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And it's just a dancing banana.
I can't imagine. Like, okay, so I'm trying to think back. Did I ever find this funny?
I don't think it was one of those things where it was like, ha ha, I'm laughing. But it was like a, it's like an internet thing.
It's like hot dog jokes.
Yeah.
You're like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was a flash animation created by Ryan Gansenia Itrada and Kevin Flynn under the screen names Ralph Wiggum and Comrade Flynn, who posted it to the off-topic forums in early 2002. It's always the communists.
Yeah.
Comrade Flynn.
Comrade Flynn.
It's the communists that make this media readily available to every citizen.
Yes. There's also 2003 Badger, Badger, Badger. Badgers, also known informally as Badger, 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 or the Badger Song, is a flash animated meme by British animator John T. Picking. It consists of 12 animated cartoon badgers doing calisthenics, a mushroom in front of a tree, and a snake in a desert. The fish cartoon is accompanied by a bass line above which a voiceover sings the names of what's shown on the screen. The flash cartoon was published on September 1st, 2003. And it's just a bunch of badgers dancing together.
So what we're experiencing now is the post 9/11 meme boom.
Yes.
This is what came out of it.
This is what united America.
And you guessed it, the growth of 4chan.
Yeah.
Internet subculture beginning the spawn of many memes throughout internet history was always on 4chan.
Oh my God. And this is where I became sentient.
Mm-hmm.
Hairy Puppet Pals.
Yup. Y'all remember this one?
Mm-hmm.
I'll mute it.
All right, so The Potter Puppet Pals is a popular web series created by influential web content creator Neil C.C. Erega, which is a spoof of the Harry Potter series of books and movies. Although Potter Puppet Pals is Neil's original creation, there have been a number of additional Potter Puppet Pals videos created by fans. The topic of Potter Puppet Pals has been a regular on forums and boards across the internet since the release of the first video in 2003. And this is also where, I don't know if this was the same year or if I'm jumping ahead, but fucking Charlie the Unicorn.
Yeah, dude.
We're going to Candy Mountain, Charlie.
I love Charlie the Unicorn. I loved Llamas with Hats.
Yeah.
I loved all of those. Who was the studio that made those?
I have no idea.
God, I loved those. I loved Fred Figglehorn. I loved all those. Were, again, the days in, like, it was around 2006 to 2009 where if a video went viral on YouTube, chances are you've seen it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it was that small of a world back then versus today. There are millions of billions of videos on YouTube. It's hard to find. And even if a video has, you know, 1 billion streams, I've never seen the Sorry music video by Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
And I'm missing out. Yeah. Apparently.
I tried to learn that dance, but I couldn't move my body like that.
Damn. No one can move like JB. No, and I've always said that. This one was so good though. The Harry Potter Puppet Pals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they died in the end.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Just like the real movie.
We'll leave him up there.
There's also the Numa Numa dance. Oh my God. It's an internet meme based on a video by American vlogger Gary Bralsma made after the song. Oh my God. It's
Y'all remember that?
That was so fucking good. Oh my God.
Why did this grab the internet by storm?
Because it's the first time they saw a man mouthing a song.
Hey, being goofy.
I know. This is the first, like, this is just musically, except like fucking 12 years before that.
Yeah. You know what I think was, it's not the content that matters. It's what it was uploaded on and how it was able to reach people.
Yeah.
Like, objectively, sure, this video is goofy, silly, whatever. And it's fun to watch. But like the date, December 11th, 2006. And this is sitting at 63 million views just on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, imagine the spread across all of the internet.
Yes.
It's wild.
Wait, what were you doing in 2006?
I was at Disney World. I was 8.
Really?
9.
Really? You were...
I was 9.
No, I know you were 9, but do you know that you were at Disney
World? The only thing I remember about 2006 was Hannah Montana came out and it was Disney World.
Oh
and
my God. World. Yeah, Hannah Montana.
Yup.
Holy shit.
She was... Well, Miley's, she's 2 years older than you.
She's 92.
92. I'm 97, so she's 5 years older than me. So I was 9. She was 14.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Wild. And she looks it, too. She looks like a little baby that first episode. All right, next, we have the evolutionary period.
A period of time where the formation of what we know of, what a meme is today, was fully cemented. The birth of many meme concepts still seen today. During this period, memes found a wide-ranging cultural footing with this simultaneous growth on YouTube and Reddit acting as meme hubs.
Mm-hmm. We've got reaction memes. This is the classic internet memes era. Definition of traditional meme formatting, the rise of meme creation and adoption, the accessibility to create memes boomed as anyone on the internet could create their own, and the real ones were on iFunny.
Yeah.
Y'all remember fucking iFunny, dude?
I was on iFunny before I was on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. I used to like post like Facebook jokes. I mean, like, I used to post jokes on Facebook and I stole them all from iFunny. Yeah. And I literally remember this guy named Henry commenting, "You're not this funny in real life." Like, and I was like, he doesn't know that I stole it from iFunny.
He'll never know.
I know.
The Wojak meme of, they don't know that I'm on iFunny. Yeah, I was on iFunny on my fucking iPod Touch first generation, dude. With my one of those phone cases from Claire's that was like, I don't want to taco about it. And it was a cute little taco drawing.
Or like bad, like the bunny, mean bunny.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, what was that called?
Oh, fuck. What's
evil,
the...
Evil.
Mean. I typed in bad bunny and then he pops up.
Bad bunny. No, he's different.
Yes. Mean.
Mean bunny, bunny Claire's.
It's the Happy Bunny.
Happy Bunny.
Yeah. Where it's
and
like,
it was so... And 9-year-olds wearing shirts that was like, fuck you.
Yeah. It says, crazy doesn't even begin... Fucking God. Crazy doesn't even begin to cover it. And then it's a picture of a bunny. I remember I wanted these shirts so bad, but my mom thought they were rude.
Well, they were.
I literally had to steal these shirts. These and etnies. Do you know how hard it is to steal a pair of etnies?
What is an etny?
It's like those big, fat, like, skater shoes.
Yes. That sounds awful. Cruel but cute, so I'm worth it. It's all about me. Deal with it. I'll be nicer when you're smarter. Cute but psycho. Things even out. Farting is fun, and it makes the room warmer. Hey, yes. True. God, this was such... And they were always glittery. What about Bobby Jack?
Bobby Jack, yes.
Bobby Jack was like, I'm a fucking nuisance, but my parents love me.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I want to see more. Yeah, these were at Claire's. These were like, fuck.
Justice, limited two.
This was like the... I don't want to... Okay, I just said I don't want to like be like Gen Z. Like, I feel like... When we were younger, we looked like little kids, yeah. You know? I feel like I wouldn't see a lot of Gen Alpha people in these types of shirts.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate because TikTok has forced young, and I'm just going to say young girls because I was a young girl. It's forced young girls to grow up too fast.
Yeah.
They completely skip over the, like, being young and having braces and blue eyeshadow and, like, clips in their hair and, like, looking bad. Mm-hmm. Because it's that pressure. Everyone wants to look like a fucking Kardashian.
Yeah.
And you do that. When you do that, you're sexualized younger as a woman. You know, you're not a woman. You're 13. Mm-hmm. And it robs you of your childhood. And I think that that's going to come back to bite a lot of Gen Z and Gen Alpha soon. You know, it's like, that's such an important time. And if I didn't have my childhood and I wasn't able to be creative and run around and, you know, do what I wanted to do and have my different eras. I want to be a tomboy. No, now I want to be really girly. Now I want to wear, you know, it's like,
yeah.
That's so important to figure out who you are, mm-hmm. instead of conforming to what you see on TikTok.
Yeah.
So it sucks. It makes me really sad to watch because I'm like, God, they're beautiful. Mm-hmm. But that's not all you have to be. Yeah. Develop your interests and what you like and, you know, really figure out what makes you you instead of just fitting this mold of like BBL fucking.
Yeah.
You know, you're 15.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a BBL.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's true. But I feel like a lot of people, like, in their 20s, like, especially late 20s, I feel like it's, like, a renaissance of where, like, you're unpacking everything.
Definitely.
Like, with the rise of, like, mental health, like, information on TikTok,
yeah.
There's so many people, like, just not age regressing, but, like, finally doing what they would have,
yeah.
Should have done when they were younger.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And because, it, you know, a lot of us can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
Mental health information. Just me on the toilet talking about how I'm sad.
Yeah.
Anything can be referred to as information.
Yes.
got a lot of info on TikTok. Yes.
But I mean, like, your mental health, like, status can't be, like, disinformation.
Right. How do you feel about this video? Yes. Bad.
There's also advice animals, sometimes referred to as advice dog spinoffs, are a type of image macro series featuring animals of some kind, including humans, that are accompanied by captioned text to represent a character trait or an archetype that fits the role of a stock character. So it's like, you know those, like, pictures of, like, a cat wearing, like, a fucking tie and then, like, a colorful wheel around it? It says, I need you to stay late tonight. We really have to catch that red dot. Yeah.
Or it's the dog being like... I don't even have an example. But the most famous one that I remember is the dog with this rainbow pin background.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one was, what was this one called? Pontificating raptor?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That raptors that's like, if a priest blesses an avocado, would it be holy guacamole?
Damn, but like, and this was on iFunny? Mm-hmm. Or what was this on? Joan has cheeseburger.com.
I can has cheeseburger. What did you just say? Joan has cheeseburger?
Joanne has cheeseburger.
It says I can has cheeseburger.com.
From this angle, it looks like Joanne. And I see it now.
Let me take your driver's license. I make you like stand back and cover one eye.
Damn. Joan just wants that fucking cheeseburger.
There's also LOL cats.
LOL cats.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to read about that?
They, lolcats were an image macro, which is a photographic image on which a humorous caption or catchphrase has been digitally superimposed.
Okay.
Not to be confused with a meme, because mm-hmm. a meme isn't just, a lolcat is a meme, but memes are not just lolcats.
Yeah.
Consisting of humorous photos of cats with superimposed text written in a form of broken English known as lol speak. The lol cat meme gained much of its traction through the weekly ritual of Catterday on 4chan and Icon has cheeseburger.
Icon has cheeseburger.
This is so dopey.
Give a cat a cheeseburger, see what happens. That thing is dying within 24 hours.
Give a cat a cheeseburger and he's committing voter fraud.
He's shitting orange on your carpet.
Well, that makes two of us.
Mm-hmm. Crazy is that this cat in this photo, dead.
Dead.
Yeah.
Dead. Dead on impact. Missing in action.
Yes. KOA.
Yeah, this had such a grip on the fucking internet, dude.
Yeah.
Just like beyond words.
I want to start saying that. I feel like we're so ironic. I can ask cheeseburger.
If you tweeted this, I would lose my fucking mind. Yeah, okay. I think actually you probably should. Okay. I'm going to retweet it. That's so fucking good.
Yes, it is.
God. I want to make this a grid post on Instagram. Morning team. Found this crazy meme this morning.
There's also the evolution of dance, which I feel like everyone knows as
yes.
well.
Yes, and if you don't know the evolution of dance, don't fucking listen to this podcast. Yeah. This was so good. I just watched this last night. I was looking over the research, and I was like, I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's 6 minutes long. I was like, damn, it's still so good.
I
know. It's funny.
So it's just this, like, 32 different songs, and, like, this comedian goes through, like, the evolution of dance and, like, how we dance over time.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good at the time.
It was. Still is. Still holds up. Video starts with Elvis Presley's Hound Dog from 1956, finishes off with Dirt Off Your Shoulder by Jay-Z from 2004. Next up, and I will speak on this. We have Fred. You ever a Fred person?
I know I was super jealous when he moved to Nickelodeon.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the first one to really do it, like to go from the internet to like a kids thing. Which, I don't know if Fred was for kids. Because Fred, if you don't, okay, let me just read it, is a YouTube account started by Nebraska native Lucas Cruikshank on October 1st, 2005, who's gay now.
Mm-hmm.
Happy coming out day. His videos featured him portraying him as a hyperactive 6-year-old boy named Fred Figglehorn and several other off-screen characters whose voices have been altered in post-production to varying pitches. Due to the extremity of these videos, Cruikshank soon turned into a viral internet sensation, gaining dozens of sponsors, several awards, as well as spawning movies made after the titular character, which were distributed and produced by children's television network Nickelodeon. I bought a Fred shirt from Hot Topic in 2011.
Oh my God.
Like literally, I loved Fred so much and I don't know why. I used to DM him. I sent him an email.
Really?
From my YouTube. I sent an email to his YouTube and I was like, hey Fred, I think that the little, what did he call him? Oh, he had two little Pomeranians and he called them squirrels.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think your squirrels are so cute. I would love to hang out. And maybe date. I was in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
And I was so in love with him and I don't know why. And I literally like every single one of my friends knew I was obsessed with him. They got me Fred merch. They got me like it was we would get together and watch Fred videos.
Yeah.
Looking back now, so not funny.
Yeah.
So not funny.
But I mean, we were kids.
We were children. And also he just screamed a lot and I thought that was really funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then also some of the videos would be like, I flushed my mommy's little candies in the orange bottle down the toilet again and she hit me.
Yeah.
Or shit like that. And I was like, that's so funny. Yeah. And I look back and I'm like,
Mom, how come you don't hit me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mama.
All the cool kids.
I want to be funny like Fred. Okay, 2007. We got Rickroll.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know Rickroll, damn, I wish I had it ready so we could have Rickrolled everybody.
Yeah. The opening for this episode is just the Rickroll.
Oh, we should have. Damn.
We could still do it.
Okay, let's do it.
Currently filming this, yes.
Rickrolling is a bait and switch prank that involves posting a hyperlink that is supposedly relevant to the topic at hand in an online discussion, but redirects the viewer to the music video of Never Gonna Give You Up, a 1987 dance pop single by English singer-songwriter Rick Astley. Since May 2007, numerous versions of the music video on YouTube have garnered hundreds of millions of views, largely driven by the widespread practice of Rickrolling and subsequent resurgence in popularity of the song over the following decade.
Mm-hmm. Stanley linked in an article or like a YouTube video at the end. He's like, this is actually really interesting research. I thought it was going to be the Rickroll, but it was actually like a Damn. Really interesting research.
It's like God, an opportunity. God, our dumbass.
I know. Well, not even.
You Rickrolled yourself.
Yeah.
My brother, when I go home to Florida, will be in his room. And my dad is like a tech guy. He loves tech stuff. We have a Chromecast in every single room. And we have those little Google Home pucks.
Yeah.
And you can talk to each other through the pucks.
Okay.
Any Google enthusiast know this. And so you can be like, you know, hey, Google, cast to Britney's room.
Yeah.
My brother would do that, but play the Rickroll song at 100% volume.
Oh, my God.
And it would scare the shit out of me, but I couldn't be mad.
Yeah.
It's so good.
You couldn't be mad?
Couldn't be mad. I was like dead asleep, and then I'd be like, "Fuck!" And you can't turn it off. Hey Google, yeah. Hey Google, it's too loud.
That's when you just go in your brother's room and bear mace him in his bed. Good luck surviving the night. Close the door.
Got your dumb ass. Hope it was worth it.
Yes.
Mom doesn't love you. Wow. Yeah, that is a... Because how do you get someone back? It's one of those things where we plan how to get each other.
Yeah.
And his are always so much better than mine.
Yeah. We didn't really have pranks at my house. It was kind of just hitting each other and crying in the corner.
Beating each other. We beat each other, too.
Yeah.
I have so many pictures of as proof to show my parents
yes.
of my brother slapping me on the back. Full handprint.
Yeah.
Big handprint on my back. Swollen.
Yes.
And then by the time my dad gets home, it's like, it's gone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look what he did to me. Beat him.
Yes. So we do have, there's also Rage Comics from 2008. They're a series of webcomics with characters sometimes referred to as Rage Faces that are often created with simple drawing software such as Microsoft Paint. The comics are typically used to tell stories about real life experiences and end with a humorous punchline. It became increasingly popular to create comics using web applications, often referred to as Rage Comic Generators or Rage Makers. So some examples are the Fuh guy, and it's just him looking up and saying Fuh. Me Gusta. The troll face, forever alone guy, serial guy, why you know, and then the fuck yeah guy.
This was my personality in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
This was everything that I needed. The first amateur made comics, bait deck. Date back to 2008 on 4chan. That's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we have infamously, Wojak. All of you guys love Wojak. We all love Wojak. 2009 was the genesis of this well-beloved meme. If you can see it on the screen, it might be too whitewashed out. But it's the guy standing in the corner and they don't know that I'm listening to Violating Community yes. Guidelines by Brittany and Sarah. So Feels Guy, also known as Wojak, is an MS Paint illustration of a bald man with a sad expression on his face. It's often used as a reaction image to represent feelings such as melancholy, regret, or loneliness. The exact origin of the illustration is unknown. And this was on 2009. This mm-hmm. was posted. And we were forever changed. 2011, we're moving on to Nyan Cat, Chuck Testa, which was a fucking Rhett and Link video.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that. And then Rebecca Black. Friday song.
Oh yeah, but the thing is Rebecca Black made a fucking huge comeback.
Absolutely. She's a gay icon now.
I know. And she also made the follow-up song Saturday.
Is it good?
I don't know. I haven't listened to it.
Yeah, but she's a great DJ too.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
She really like, and also the fact that we made fun of her so hard was fucked up.
Yeah.
She was literally a child.
An actual child.
Yeah.
Sucks. We've also got Charlie Bit My Finger, Gummy Bear song, Chocolate Rain. Moving on, we've got the transitionary, or no, hold on. By this point, memes had become universal. Anyone could create a successful meme. Internet memes dominated internet culture. And by 2012, meme culture began to leak into the mainstream to the point where people who aren't into internet culture became aware of them. This period can be marked as a time where memes were sincere and pre-irony, like yeah. what we were talking about earlier. All right, moving into 2012 to 2014, we have the transitionary period. A period where memes began further defining themselves as the language of the internet, which is such a good way to put it. But they also began the spark of becoming universal symbols. It was a time where the idea of meme culture began dominating the internet. In 2012, we have the mainstream of like face or reaction memes, overly attached girlfriend, bad luck Brian, blinking white guy. We have Grumpy Cat. Ain't nobody got time for that. And then Vine in 2012.
Yeah.
Which Vine was, we have a whole separate episode on Vine if you want to go listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
was such a moment in time.
Yeah.
It was the first, it was the introduction of the video meme.
Yeah.
Of like on a mass scale. And again, Vine was, you couldn't scroll indefinitely. It was a fixed number of videos. Yeah. It was as the creators posted them, and there weren't that many creators. Mm-hmm. So it was the birth of the video oriented short format memes. It, we could not have TikTok or even YouTube today, I feel like, the way that YouTube is today, without Vine. Mm-hmm. So Vine, we thank you. Then we've got 2015 to the present, the cultural explosion. This era begins the rise of subcultures within meme culture as different audiences began finding their particular niche communities of meme content. This era is dominated by inside jokes, subcultures, and untopical memes. These memes require years of knowledge of meme culture and internet culture to fully appreciate.
Years of brain rot.
Years of just disintegrating neuro connectivity.
Actually, being, this is the one time where being smart does not serve you.
Yeah, we don't want you here.
Yes.
At the beginning of this period, memes fractured into different sets. Memes are no longer universally funny to all. I feel like that is the defining thing. They require relation for connection. And then, of course, this is where the term, well, I don't know if this is where the genesis of the term normie started, but this was a way, this was an us versus them sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, you're either, you get it or you're a normie.
Yeah.
And oh, how I envy. Oh, how I wish to be a normie.
Oh, dude, the people who can like follow the Dory account and get true joy out of just something so simple.
To show their boyfriends.
Yeah. Honey, look at this cat meme.
Yeah.
I want to be you so bad.
God, big fat engagement ring on their finger.
I want to crawl into your skin.
God.
Just. But yeah, they're perceived as cringy. They use traditional meme templates to discuss pop culture. But again, I feel like normie memes are starting to be funny. Like, and in 5 years, they're going to be so fucking funny.
Yes.
Because they're going to be just, there's no way that you're saying this seriously. And if you are, like, you are a national treasure.
Right. If you're saying this sincerely in 2030,
yeah,
we need to put you in an archive.
Yeah.
We need to have you studied by professionals.
Exactly.
Companies and marketing memes using meme culture as advertisement with little effort is also like a normie behavior.
Yeah. I used to be a copywriter. Let me give a little rant.
Yeah, here we go.
I know that companies are cringy. Yes, I do. But like I had this like little rant. Like there was this thing that used to happen on fucking Twitter where like there would be like this meme influencer like crowd, like cloud. So like you would put your name in like the middle of it and then it would show like a bunch of different other like memers, and there was like different colors to like show and like different size fonts. Like there was like irony poisoning Twitter, dad joke Twitter, gamer Twitter, celebrity Twitter. And so like what I would do is I showed the companies that I worked for this cloud of like meme creators. And I was like, you know, a meme is about to go viral when more than three colors are talking about this meme, because these are the people who make the memes. This is not the public. These are the people who write the shit. And so like, you know, it's universally funny if three separate subgroups are talking about it. And that's how I would try to get in on the ground floor with memes for companies. But they would always be like, we didn't see this trending yet. And I'd be like,
it's too late.
You literally have not. You haven't seen it trending because I've given you a method to like get ahead of the curve, and they still like, they're like, we need to see this in the public. I'm like, that's when you know it's fucking dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's this thing of, you know, they don't care about that though. Because they don't have to. But it's also like, if you really cared about making yourself, like, that can only help you. Mm-hmm. You know, this whole, no, we're not going to listen to the young people that we hire, even though the young people that we hire are the most plugged in to what's going on online. Yeah. We're not going to listen to you because you're not a seasoned professional and, you know, we know better and whatever. It's like, then why hire me?
Yeah.
Do you even know what you're doing? Why do you have a social media department?
Yeah.
Fucking listen to us. I think that is so, I can't even imagine how probably frustrated you were.
It is. Because like, the thing is like, I know that it's like, it's brand social media, like you shouldn't care. But the difference between like a creative job and a non-creative job is like, if you want to move on and you want to do something meaningful, you have to fight in the first 5 years of your career to get that shit pushed out, because you need a portfolio of interesting shit to actually move on to the next job. Like, I mean, it's like any sort of like creative profession, like hairstylist or tattoo artist. Like, if you want to like start really like getting your name out
something
there,
something to show for it.
Yeah. And so like, if you're a hairstylist and like every person who comes in just wants half an inch off the bottom, that's not actually showing your skills. And so when you start to build your Instagram, you need someone coming in for like a really revolutionary haircut to like show what you can do and attract more people like that.
Yeah.
So that's what sucks is like these older people don't give a shit about social media. So now all these creatives are just fighting for like the most basic fucking joke.
Yeah.
Just push out a couple so you can screenshot it, put it in a portfolio and leave.
And even then we're at this era of memes and brands using memes that we don't want to see it.
Yeah. I thought someone come in. Did you come in?
Did you come in?
Yes.
So no.
We're changing.
So I'm nude. I was gonna say
this is podcast, but nude.
Yeah. On ice. We're at this point now. We're like, I follow Arby's on Twitter. Just fucking tweet about meat, dude. I don't want to hear you trying to get in on this, get in on that. I think that there's a way to do it, and even the way to do it, which is being with the times and being funny. I don't want to see a brand be funny. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't. I'm past it because I've seen it be botched too many times.
But I do love the idea of Arby's tweeting, like, we have so much meat.
God, I fucking love meat.
Can someone stop by and pick a couple up?
Getting married soon? We cater.
Dude, this shit expires.
They locked me in the meat closet and told me to tweet.
Yeah. Is this a picture of a single slice of roast beef on a table?
Oh. Slick. Yeah. We've got dank memes in 2015. Mm. In the beginning of 2015, the growth of dank memes emerged as the type of memes veterans of meme/internet culture would consume and create. Dank memes is an ironic expression used to describe online viral media and in-jokes that are intentionally bizarre or have exhausted their comedic value to the point of being trite or cliche. Mm-hmm. Me. Exhausted their comedic value. Yes. In this context, the word dank, originally coined as a term for high-quality marijuana, is satirically used as a synonym for cool. Today, dank memes have, of course, overlapped into the mainstream. Then we have deep-fried memes. Everyone loves a deep-fried meme. Mm-hmm. This is just when it's been passed through so many different filters.
Imagine
British.
Imagine a screenshot of a screenshot of a screenshot of a moving video, you know? And then, like, at the bottom of it, you, like, cut off most of the letters, but it says, like, pussy cum, you know?
Bottom text. Pussy cum, bottom text. Hey, I'm saving that, okay?
Just dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, something stupid.
Another one. E. And it's Lord Farquaad that's been passed through at least 7 different filters. Brilliance all the way up. Contrast all the way up.
Yes.
E. Also, they put sexy glasses on him.
Like Clark Kent glasses on Lord Farquaad.
E. And then there's deep fried memes, which is a subculture of deep fried memes, which is the complete loss of understanding. It's this.
Yeah.
Just, what the fuck, man? They also used to add the like 100 emoji and like the flame emoji. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was the first. They would put the smoke weed every day glasses on it. Mm-hmm. Damn. All right. Let's take a quick little walk down the mainstream memes of this period. Would you like to?
2015, we have Ty Lopez. And then we also have Netflix and Chill or the black or yellow dress.
I remember that.
Black and yellow or blue and
blue and black or golden. I can't remember.
Obviously the fucking it was different lighting.
Yeah.
Idiots. You absolute fools.
What about Yanny and Laurel?
Oh my God.
I think Twitter is just a hellscape.
Yeah.
2016, we have Dat Boy, Arambe. This is fine. The bee emoji. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Well, they would tweet like chocolate chip cookie, but with the bee emoji, and it would be bocklet bit bookie. Yes. God, I was peeing myself over that shit.
Yes.
Show You the Way, which is the Uganda Knuckles one from whatever video game that is.
Oh.
Thought that was so funny. 2017, Salt Bae, Stonks, He Protect, He Attack, Pickle Rick. Let's go. I'm thinking about getting a Pickle Rick tattoo.
Really?
As a bit.
Okay, as a bit.
As a bit.
Permanently on your body.
Because I do love Rick and Morty, but I also acknowledge how fucking cringy the fan base is, but that's not going to stop me. The emergence of snapshots from cartoons, which is SpongeBob, mainly.
Yep.
We see the overuse of SpongeBob reaction photos. 2018, the start of TikTok. 2018 is when Musical.ly became TikTok. Mm-hmm. We have surprised Pikachu and Big Chungus.
I think Big Chungus is still a little bit funny.
It's still very funny. Yes. Yeah. I see your point, but those, like, it's a picture of Big Chungus is just fat Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
And they photoshopped it onto a video game cover. Just
it's
Google.
Just a fucking fat Bugs Bunny.
Big Chungus multiverse. Yeah. Small Chungus, Big Chungus, huge Mega Chungus. Big Chungus PS4. That's just so not funny. It's so stupid. Big Chungus reacts. Statue of Liberty torn down to build Statue of Big Chungus. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. Now we're in 2018 and we're approaching the end, guys.
Post-irony.
Post-irony and meta-irony. Although still part of the modern-day meme period, the past couple of years, we've seen the expansion of post-ironic and meta-ironic memes due to the rise of Gen Z's prominence on the internet and shaping internet culture. There is, at the end, fucking Stanley included a section called, "What is Gen Z Humor?" And then in parentheses said, "Some research for you guys to learn." I think it's crazy because these kids grew up with a smartphone in their hand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that is, you and I are on the cusp of, you know, millennial Gen Z. You're more millennial. I'm kind of more the cusp of that, like 96 to 2000, whatever that is. And it's like, I was young enough to, I grew up with electronic toys.
Mm-hmm.
And I also played outside, but I mean, quickly I became, yeah, I was an indoor child. I loved the computer room. I loved playing on my phone. I loved playing on the laptop. And that's kind of all I really remember.
Yeah.
You know, my siblings grew up with a phone in their hand.
Yeah.
They're 18, 19. And that's just, and I can't even imagine, like, COVID babies.
Yeah.
Babies that were born during COVID. What the fuck are they going to turn into?
Oh, yeah. I've been seeing a lot of teachers on TikTok recently talk about, like, iPad kids.
Yeah.
Where, like, they take it away for, like, the majority of school. And, like, these kids are just so understimulated because they're so used to the screen being in front of them. But it's not, like, it's not their fault. Their parents refuse to parent.
Right.
And just put, like, a screen in front of them. And I can only imagine, like, I'm addicted to, like, my phone. I can't even imagine, like, being a child and, like, just being raised, literally raised with a screen.
Yeah, your nanny is the iPad.
Yeah.
That's wild. They give it to you to keep you occupied, and Lord no. I mean, I'm thinking about, we're going to do an episode on Tumblr. I grew up not even thinking, okay, how do I use this app?
Yeah.
I have never opened a social media and been like, I was thinking about this the other day, like, when did we learn how to do this shit? We've always just known.
Yeah.
Because when you're raised with, you know, everyone's doing it, everyone's, you grew up online, you just kind of figure it out. Versus if I tried to teach my Nana how to use Tumblr.
Yeah.
All right, here's the, and then here's the inbox, and okay, don't click that, and then here's, okay, and also, you know, it's just like,
yeah,
you grow up knowing how to do it. The iPad baby kids that were born during COVID, they're going to know how to do so many things that we could never even, it's going to be so high in, like, computer programming,
yeah,
that we won't even know. So it's really cool to think about how quickly things develop and where we'll be soon.
Mm-hmm. But also something I think is really cute. You talked about old people not knowing anything. The mm-hmm. Apple Store has, like, classes for old people.
Yeah.
So there's, like, a, like, usually, like, four old people sitting and watching, like, a slideshow of, like, how to access it's your
cute.
Contacts.
Yeah. How to change your ringtone.
Yeah.
Ironic memes are memes that are used satirically, usually by being deliberately humorless, crude, or overused as a way to both criticize meme or meme elitism cultures. Ironic memes often spawn as a response to overuse with time, usually due to the Family Guy effect, as well as to simply catch those with less internet experience off guard. The use of ironic memes often includes intentional overuse of older internet phenomena, like rage comics, as well as the use of the word meme as a replacement for some parts of speech, such as nouns or verbs. Ironic memes trace back to roughly mid-2008 and were popularized on platforms like 4chan, YouTube, and Reddit. Mm-hmm. I think that this is a great way to sum it up.
So we're looking at a picture of this astronaut looking at the Earth, and the earth has like this layer of eight faces where it's like I buried myself under too many layers of irony, and now I can no longer remember who I really am. And then the astronaut is looking at Earth, and then the astronaut says, wait, it's all me. And then behind him is another astronaut that says, also me. And then the astronaut says, always has been.
Did you get all that, audio listeners?
Yeah. And now you guys know about gene mutation.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So take that to your scientist professor and suck it.
Yeah. Never say that we never taught you anything.
This one's pretty good, too. Welcome to post-ironic society. Now, the substance of any position, of any work of art, of any belief, is irrelevant. What is relevant now is what is claimed to have been intended after the fact. And this supposed intent can be freely altered in whatever way most adequately silences critique of any given statement. Responsibility is a relic of the past. Sincerity is no more. Critique of any kind is now rendered useless. Now is the time of the coward, the death of opinion. And it's true. This was also painted on a garbage can. On a garbage can.
With a stencil.
Yeah. It's true, though. Being ironic is a form of defense.
Yeah.
If I know that I suck, you can't tell me I suck.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we've seen what happens with, like, the basic accounts. Like, it's like, I love pizza. I could just say that. And, like, that's not even, I'm not trying to be funny. And then it'll get, like, quote retweeted, like, a million times. It's like, you fucking idiot. You right. kill yourself. And right. I'm like, I wasn't trying to be funny. I was just making it. And now I felt like I should have been funny. So, yep. like, the next time I tweet, I love pizza, I have to, like, put, like, the tongue out emoji. Like, I love pizza.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, okay.
Hashtag pizza.
It's, like, ironic, you know? Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so challenging yeah. being alive.
It really is.
Every day.
It's just a fucking nightmare.
All right, guys. We hope that was, I feel like that was pretty.
Yeah.
Concise. Yeah. Covered pretty much the history. But again, we could have a whole podcast just talking about memes. Well, we love you guys.
This has been an episode of Violating Community Guidelines. Make sure to
like, comment,
subscribe. Follow us on YouTube. Any place you get your podcasts is where
yes.
we are.
Follow us both on Instagram if you'd like to see more of this sweet ass.
And dank memes.
Dank memes, pizza, touch my butt.
Yes. All right, guys. Until next time.
I guess you're baby.
Bye.
Hey, my face when the podcast ends. I'd be like, meh, meh.
I can ask cheeseburger? Fucking idiot. All right, bye, guys.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.